You might open up to maybe the 17th chapter of Luke for a few minutes. And extend your faith this way. With all our heart, Father, we thank you. We thank you for that great person, the teacher of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing in us this truth that can't lie, especially concerning deception. Teaches us all things. How can we say thanks? Father, I thank you for what you're about to do. And everything can be healed. I call it healed, Father. And I thank you for your miracles. Thank you for what you're about to do. With all my heart. And I know if I don't like where I'm at, I know the path. Don't have to stay this way. With all my heart, I thank you. In truth. I know without asking that bunches and bunches of you have become determined. You're not going to stay the way you are anymore. I know. When you found out what's out there and it's yours, how do you think faith comes? Along the way, I basically had no teacher. I sure love Earl Hitson. But I didn't have any teacher along the way. And when I was praying in tongues and things, I really didn't know what it did for a while. Then I started catching on. And it even wasn't until much later at the prayer center that I could coin the phrase of it even, that praying in tongues is a foundational revelation gift. And when God is ordering your life, like we know that He does, for He that searches the heart knows the mind, it makes intercession according to the will, and then we know He's working it together for His plan. We know that now. That praying in tongues wasn't designed to replace the other keys. It was designed in God's plan as it unfolds in your life is to reveal those keys so you can pick them up and then unlock the door. And then that'll add to your life what praying in tongues couldn't, but neither could praying in tongues replace that. I can remember when he added fasting. Ooh, that was a fun one. First thing I discovered, if you didn't watch out, the more you fasted, the fatter you got. Your system said, I'm starving to death. So what it did was it slowed your metabolism so slow you could look at a celery stick and gain a pound. But he said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. He definitely added fasting onto the equation because fasting is a enforcer of the positional truth. Your body's been declared, which is dead. See, which is dead. But when it was time for him to put that fasting key on in such a way I could understand, then it unlocked that door. Then I can remember when he came along and put the worship key on. And he put that one on. I already thought I knew about worship, even though I didn't do very much. I did in the service. But I didn't know very much what worship would do until the door unlocked and it began to add that to the walk. And it seemed like when it got to that point, it had something to do with the love of God. Well, that was when I began bawling and crying and now I'm getting reports that lots and lots of people is going into bawling and crying and spending seasons. LaRue can't quit bawling. He's the Texas bawler. See, so little did I know that a submergence in the love of God like that, it didn't fit the way I was raised. It didn't fit anything that I knew. Boy, did it sure change my existence and how I faced every day and how I walked. Goodness. It's the one thing I know that everybody's looking for. They're looking for it, and most of the time they don't even know it. It's something you can't hardly know until you experience it. That, like the Samaritan woman. His encounter with her changed my life. Absolutely. He said, the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. And of course, the in spirit part is, he seeketh such to worship him, which meant he waited out the dispensation of 4,000 years for the first man to appear on the planet that had a nature like his that could truly give him the worship that he desired. Amen. Fellowship. Nature to nature. So he seeketh such to worship him. He waited out them dispensations, but he said, in spirit. Then he added, and in truth. Didn't know what that meant for some time, but it sure didn't keep me from worshiping him in spirit, which is a fellowship with him out of the new nature and the new creation I have become. I get the biggest kick out of it. Bakersfield, because we're fellowshipping a little bit, and Mary's a professor that's wrote study courses called Big S and Little S, and is taught. And anyway, she wanted me to talk to a friend of hers about the duck that was raised as a chicken. Well, I got carried away, pounding on the desk and everything almost, and her eyes got about this big. It's just one man preaching session took place, you know. But I explained the difference by, of course, slipping a chicken. They slipped a duck egg in the hen's nest, and poor little guy hatched out with a fat mouth, and he couldn't dig worms up and couldn't scratch, like to starve to death while getting mocked by his brothers and sisters. But he got close enough to the water, something in him says, go. He ran and jumped in the water, and Ma Hen pulled him out, just scorched his tail feathers. What, you crazy? Don't you ever do that again. Why did you do it? There's something in me told me I could do it, Ma. You come down here again, I'll britches you. I'll get you. You understand? He couldn't stop. He snuck down there all the time until the herd of ducks come by. They landed. It's high duck. He said, I'm a chicken. Look stupid. You're a duck. You got that? You are a duck. Look at your reflection. Fat mouth. Look at your feet. You are a duck. You're a duck. He said, I am. He said, yes, you are. Chickens can't swim. What are you doing out here? I don't know. I've been hiding and doing this for a long time. It's because you're a duck. So now we got a duck teaching a duck duck things. See, and that's what he meant. Not in the language which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Meaning, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, God uses his nature to compare things to your nature, which is where you get your understanding of God.
Amen.
You can't be a duck raised as a chicken and succeed too well. So the ducks were just elated at this duck. He says, oh, he was so happy he couldn't stand it. And so the Lord duck, he kind of swam over to him. He says, I've been liberated. I'm so free, Lord duck. I'm so free. He says, is there anything I can do for you in return? I want to do something for you for getting me set free. He says, you can't. You can. He says, you can worship me in spirit and in truth. If I know about the in spirit, how do I worship you in truth? And the Lord Duck says, watch this. He told the other ducks, come with me. He got back and he took off paddling real fast. He said, come on, little duck. He paddled and paddled and he started flapping their wings. Pretty soon, the Lord Duck lifted off. And the little chicken duck, he lifted off and began to fly. He said, you want to know what to worship me in truth is, boy? You're a duck. Fly, boy. Fly. You know what he means to worship him in spirit and in truth? You're a new creation. You're a son and a daughter of God. Fly. Come on. Fly. So the more that I prayed, the more this started leaning to other people, and the love of God entailed other people. Everything I found out about faith and the increase of faith had to do with other people. It became apparent that we're the half of God's family here that's born again, that's supposed to reach the lost sheep of his fold, which are not. And that's why we're here. Well, you know, when somebody like Peter says, increase my faith, I want to know what he meant when he answered him. I want to know what he meant. Of course, that's what he tells us on the tale of the rich man and Lazarus. We've been hearing quite a bit about them, these meetings. By the way, do you know what a good time I've had sitting out there? I have had the best time this conference. Hallelujah. Well, you know, the rich man wouldn't give Lazarus the crumbs from his table and where they ended up. And I've been particularly enjoying that he had an eye and a tongue and a finger. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he desired Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue, because I'm in torment and he's flaming it. And Father Abraham explained to him basically that, no, look, there's a great divide between you and he can't come here and you cannot go there. Then he asked if he could send Lazarus to his five brothers. You know, you'd think you ended up in hell and torment where you want water, begging for water. You'd think that all you'd have is revenge and animosity and hatred for everything that is. Instead, it's a listless, lost, painful, eternal place you land in. But there's no hope. No way out. But isn't it amazing in that he wanted Lazarus to go to his five brothers and warn them so they'd change their lives, for they wouldn't come to that place. And he says they've got Moses and the law. He said, but they won't hear. They won't hear. He says, but if one would come from the dead, they'll hear. He says, no, if they wouldn't hear Moses and the law, they wouldn't hear one that came from the dead. And this next verse in 17, and one, but he says, look, then said the disciples, it's impossible that offenses will come. In other words, it's impossible that with the power that's in money, that these kind of offenses won't come. They will come. But he says, woe through whom they come. And if he says, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, that you should offend one of these little ones, or put a stumbling block in front of him. that just could cause him to fall. And for him to say you'd be in better condition with a 2-ton millstone around your neck going for a swim than causing these little ones to fall. Well, he says it's impossible, but in the face of all that those kind of offenses will come. I mean, one came from the dead. Well, look what he goes on to say. Take heed to yourselves. 3, brother trespass against him. Go ahead, tell him what he did. Repent, forgive him. Does it 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turns again saying, I repent. He could forgive him. The apostle said in the Lord, oh, good, increase my faith. I know who that was, too. That was Peter. We taught on this before. See, he had something to say about everything. The storm came up. Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Lord looks at himself, goes, it's me. Come. So Peter sinks. You know, and so what did he do? Put him back in the boat. Even to this day, I'd still rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. He says, that be you bid me to come. Peter pretty much had something to say about everything. You know, oh Lord, though these forsake you, I'll never betray you. Is that right, Peter? Time the cock crows, you'll have denied me 3 times. What? Had something to say about everything. You think this was different? See, he says, the 31st verse said unto him that they hear not Moses and the prophets, and they will be persuaded the one raised from the dead. Then said he unto his disciples, that's then said, I think I can get through this. Then said he unto his disciples, it's impossible these offenses will come, but woe unto them to whom they come. It's better for him a millstone hanged about his neck as in the sea. Take heed to yourself, your brother. Rebuke him, repent, forgive him. Trespassing at thee 7 times in a day, and turn again, saying, repent, you shall forgive him. And then all of a sudden I just see old Peter going, what? I say unto you 7 times, 70. Well, that's 490. When he sank in the ocean, did he say, increase my faith? No, but when he said, you have to forgive your brother 490 times his offenses, and particularly over money, he goes, increase my faith. Doesn't that make you wonder what he said to him? So whatever it is, what he said is designed to increase your faith. Well, I know about sycamine tree, and yet faith is a grain of mustard seed. You say the sycamine tree, I plucked up by the root and cast in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay. So we went to the other limit of great faith. How do you get to increase? Well, he goes in to say some things. The Lord said, 6, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And we have some things to say about that, not today. But then he goes on, but which of you? Well, you know what a question is? It's a teaching tool. It causes you to evaluate the answer in the light of what you're walking in. It's a teaching tool. So you have to evaluate it. You know, what do I know and how can I answer this question? So he says, But which of you, having a servant, they're going, we know about that, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, that's their servant, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, then after I've eaten and drunken, after that thou shalt eat and drink. He says, isn't that the way you would treat your servant? You know, they're going, yeah. Then he goes on to say, does he thank that servant because he did the things which you commanded him? He answers his own question by saying, I trow not. Then he says, so likewise you, and all of a sudden he throws a grand switch on them and puts them in the servant's role. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is what? We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We broke this down. We got parts of it. I got part of it. But where I lost it in translation or interpretation is that the question he was asked is to increase the faith. That was what Peter had asked for. I want an increase of faith. So he's got down to put him into the servant's role. It really, it was beyond servant's role. It'd be a the galley slave's role. So likewise you, yes. Now when you had that servant, you know, plowing and feeding cattle, when he came in, would you say, well, sit down and feed yourself, and when you're all done, turn around and serve me? I trow not. You wouldn't even thank him. He said, after saying something horrible like that, he switches it over and puts them in the servant's role. But which of you? You know, which of you? Whew. So likewise you, when you've done all you know to do, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now we say unprofitable, we weren't talking about, you know, we not gain, we wasn't talking, our righteousness is filthy rags, we're unprofitable. Wasn't talking about it in that light. But this is what he was saying. You ask for an increase of faith in this area about forgiving this little one. And I said 490 times and you cried out, my God, increase my faith. Well, here it is. When you've done all you know to do, say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Did you want to be my slave? Do you, Peter? Do you want to be my slave? Then you will forgive that guy 490 times a day. You will forgive him. Then you come in here, boy. Sit down at my table and eat. Hallelujah. You want to be my slave? You will forgive him. And then come to my table and fill yourself up. Increase of faith. Oh, you can't imagine. I found out when it had to do with great faith. Even like Luke 6:38. It seemed to always connect up with our willingness to go after the lost sheep, God's fault. So, when that love of God came along and then verses came online and my understanding that I couldn't understand before because I couldn't understand what they were trying to say. When I saw the big medieval door and it cracked open and light was coming out of it, and he said, "You get behind here, you get in here." The even preachers quit falling from this place. And I knew it had more to do with the love of God than I understand. But I can tell you what, I am on that path, and I am going to get through that door. So I want to ask you a couple of things. If you would hold me up this next year, I'll hold you up. Will you make yourself an alert? If God can get a hold of you and alert you if he wants to. And would you please pray for my family? Because the devil has been trying to take this out on me. He's trying to take everything out on them.
Yeah, right.
So, no, I won't bend and I won't back up, nor will I back off. No, sir, there's one commission that I have, and that's what I do. So I appreciate your prayer. And remember where he's bringing you. I like it when Paul said, "Hey, I'm a galley slave." He did break that down one time, like that I am a galley. It's just chained to an oar in one of those galleys. It's just what you do. So, if you'll do that, then you'll help me. Amen? I had lots of messages that would have made you dance. But I couldn't get away from this one. So I didn't even want to make you real happy first before I preached it. So you want to be his servant?
Yes.
Do you want to be his slave?
Absolutely.
And eat off his table. You will. We'll get you, no man. All right. Stand up.